Well, away we go. Here it is, the Green Zone post-game show. After a week one win for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 17-13 is the final score over the Edmonton Elks. And the Riders start the season, as they did last year, with a 1-0 start. The Green Zone post-game show is live. That means the fan line is live right now at 1-877-332-8255. Give us a ring on what you think of tonight's game, 17-13. Defense good. Closed out the game with some big runs. But the most recent thing we saw was Trevor Harris limping off the field, because I know what Craig Dickinson was doing. With 8 seconds left, he's trying to roll it out, get it right down to 8 seconds, and have Trevor Harris throw a lob pass to kill all the clock. He was 2 seconds short. That's what he's trying. He wasn't trying to throw a touchdown. He was just trying to throw it deep. Have Shea Patterson run that play, because he's the mobile quarterback to run around.
No. Kick the field goal.
Yeah, keep the field
They're
goal,
in
man.
Field goal range.
They're right there, Jamie. You kick the field goal.
It's 20-13, and you got a touchdown.
Brett Lothar been really consistent over the last 2 weeks?
He's right there at the 20-something. Yeah. Like, he's going to make that, Jamie.
Yes.
He's going to make that.
Jamie.
Is Trevor Harris going to be okay next week?
He'll be fine.
Hopefully.
That looked like a lower back or a hip or something, man. And who's he playing against next week?
It's the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yeah.
Short week, too. He doesn't have a lot of time. And they cannot travel tonight, by the way. They have to stay overnight in Edmonton because of the paving going on at the Regina Airport. So they close the airport runway down now at night. So they have to stay in Edmonton, then fly tomorrow, and then start practicing Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's
for the
rough
Rough Riders.
Kick the field goal.
Kick the field goal, yeah.
And you're talking to a guy who says never kick field goals, Jamie. Kick the freaking field goal.
Jeez, I don't know. You can see them signaling. Craig Dickinson is saying, throw it deep. No, don't throw it deep. You're right. Brett Lothar struggled, but this is from like the 24-yard line. So it's a 31-yard field goal. And he doesn't miss from that.
And the defense has been playing pretty darn good, Jamie. I rested in the defense.
So if you don't kick the field goal, you think the defense is going to give that one up? No, of course not. Okay. But if you put Brett Lothar out there and he misses, then that one could go the other way.
He's not missing that one, Jamie.
Quit rationalizing a bad coaching decision.
He's not going to miss that one. That's Brett Lothar.
He has sucked the last 2 weeks. He has. He's got a new holder. He's been no good. Kick what are you talking goal. About?
Not from the 30.
From
though.
The long distance.
The only problem was, if you're going to make that play at the end of a game and you need a mobile quarterback to run around and kill the clock and throw a bomb, you put Shea Patterson in there, who's your mobile quarterback, to run around and do that sort of thing.
No, you put your kicker in there, Jamie. There's no way you can rationalize that. There's no way in the world. You're probably thinking they should have that passing play with 1:22 left. They should have passed that one too. They've run in the football with Hickson and Amoro, run, and then they line up in a shotgun and throw a short, quick out pass to Sam Emelis, and you think, why?
Yeah.
If he drops it, it stops the clock. If he catches it, well, okay, he gained 0 yards. If he gets intercepted or knocked away, so many bad things can happen. They just put themselves at risk. They had the game under control. Kicking a field goal totally controls the game. There's no way, Jamie. Sorry, you can't rationalize it. I just cannot fathom what was in their minds at the end of the game offensively.
Was thinking they had enough time to run around and just throw it and end the game.
Well, kick the field goal and you end the game.
No, you don't.
We've got them by 7.
Well, they can still come back and score a touchdown. He thought they could kill all the time and just end it right there. Mm.
Okay, and put your quarterback at risk.
No, put Shea Patterson at risk. That's my point. You don't put Trevor Harris in that position. You put Shea Patterson in that position.
Yeah.
He's the guy who runs around and
then throws it, and he's completed one pass in his entire career. He's 0-1 in his entire career.
Yeah, so he's really good at throwing things out of bounds.
Out of bounds and deep.
1-877-332-8255. What did you think of the last play of the game for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? Shane, get us started.
Well, Jamie, I can't agree with you off that play. They had to kick that field goal.
Thank you.
Like that was just a dumb play by the Riders. There, like you had most of Winnipeg here licking their chops, ready to go at like Nathan Fine or whoever's going to be playing next week if Harris wasn't going to be there. You can't risk putting a quarterback in there with a play like that. Kick the field goal, make it a 7-point game, and call it a week. But overall, for a game, I was really impressed by the defense. Like, it had me look like, well, they were looking quite like last year's defense from the start of the year. Like, they were, like, Jaden Dahlke stood out by far. Like, the hits that guy was playing, it was like that Canadian Open with the security guard there.
Tackling Adam Hadwick. Isn't that a beauty?
Good thing Jaden Dahlke wasn't on security around that green. Adam Hadwin's career might be over.
Yeah. But like going in from like I live in Winnipeg as a Rider fan, and I'll be heading out to Regina next week. And I got to say, I'm looking forward to seeing the Riders play the Bombers next week. But we can't be doing stupid plays like that going against the Bombers. They're going to come out flying in the first quarter like they always do. You got to weather that storm next week and don't do anything crazy like what Craig or whoever called that play did.
Well, Shane, thanks for getting us started tonight here on the Green Zone post-game show at 1-877-332-8255. Yeah, that Riders defense is good.
Ooh.
That is a good Riders defense.
Man.
And Jaden Dahlke, I said it. I said it on the Blitz podcast. It's there. You can listen to it. I said this kid has it, that he could be a CFL All-Star this season.
Yeah.
And we saw every little bit of his ability in his second year with the Rough Riders.
The hits. He said the right off the hop there.
Yeah.
That hit, that woke me up. I said, yeah, you got my attention, young man.
Yes.
And he just kept hitting and hitting and hitting. Even on the goal line down there, he was able to come kind of sneak through and stuff that and everything. That's all I want to see, hits. And the whole team, it was just physical on that defense. And you talk about the defense. Well, who got all the sacks? The defensive tackles, other than what Lanier, but
he was a defensive tackle, right? Moved out,
and I'm impressed with the team.
Three stops from the 1 yard line. How's that for a defensive
amazing
line, right? How about Roland Milligan with the game he played? That stop he made on that one third down play, and that great interception on the sidelines. My goodness, amazing game. So Dahlke, Milligan, and that defensive front, absolutely outstanding game. Won it for the Rough Riders. The Rough Riders' offense was good enough, had a couple of nice drives, but they got to finish those off.
Yeah.
And there's no way in the world they should have been throwing late in the game, or that Trevor Harris should have thrown a deep ball there. But Shane is on our side too, Jamie. And see if you can find somebody who says, yeah, that was a good call.
We'll listen to him on the postgame show when Craig Dickinson talks to the media.
And you'll be the only two who think it's a good call.
Good. 1-877-332-8255. Now, I don't think it's a good call. Shea Patterson should have been the guy, okay?
But then you're putting in a cold quarterback at the end.
Who cares? He's running around killing the clock, throwing it deep.
We've had a kicker who's been in five times already and made three of five or something. So throw in your kicker.
33-yarder already. Okay, anyways, Caden.
That would have been 30.
Caden, shut us up and you can go.
All right. So I got to say that the defense, they played an amazing game. When you make three stops at the 1 yard line, I mean, that's a statement to the rest of the league that, yeah, we're here and we're here to play. Jaden Dahlke also running around, just hitting whatever Elks jersey was in his path. Like, he played an amazing game. And, Roland Milligan out there showing that last year wasn't a fluke. That was an amazing game. The offense worried me a little bit. I think they just didn't have that finishing touch today. I don't know what it was aside from that first touchdown. And then it took Morrow till the last quarter there to really get going. Like, it took him, I don't think he got more than a 10-yard run throughout the entire game until the fourth quarter. And then, why would Dickinson do that at the end of the game? Like, what? I don't get it. I'm just a fan, but still, come on.
Well, I think they might have snapped the ball a little early on that one, too.
Jamie, you can't rationalize it. There's no way. See, now everybody
Caden
knows.
He's on board, too.
Yeah.
Well, Caden's been calling us. Hold on, Caden. I'm going back to Caden here. How old were you when you started calling the postgame show? You were like 9, weren't you?
Bro, I don't even know how old I was. I'm 18 now. I'm a full-fledged adult.
Okay,
so.
Your parents had to dial for you originally, right, when you started calling us?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Okay, so we've been on 10 years. I think Caden called the first year.
Yeah, he might have.
So he was 8. So that, I think Caden, as a longtime listener, knows that I'm usually right, right, Caden?
Yeah, you got a... You got a football player and a football Hall of Fame writer there next to you. I'm not saying you're not always, but I'm saying there's things that are against you there.
Yeah. Okay, Caden.
Thanks, Caden.
He absolutely sewered me. Caden, stop researching the history of these two gentlemen have here. Oh my goodness. Hey, Jamie, who do you want as a co-host? Probably a Hall of Famer and a Grey Cup champion. Okay, here you go. Now that's 10 years later. Here we are. Evidently, they just want to hear you two, which I completely understand. The last play of the game has a lot of people talking tonight. Should they have done it? Should they be Shea Patterson? Should they kick the field goal? What is the health of Trevor Harris? We'll find out hopefully soon with the post-game thoughts from Craig Dickinson. We'll see if Harris is even available. But, Caden, thanks for the call at 1-877-332-8255. Bob in Saskatoon's up next. Bob.
Hey, Bob.
What do you think of the last play of the game?
Caden was making you guys look like amateurs.
he usually does.
Yeah. Defense played excellent. I was quite impressed with them. But the play that got them into trouble was Harris throwing the ball while he was falling on his back into the middle.
Oh, yeah, that interception, right?
The interception. A guy with that kind of experience shouldn't be throwing a ball while he's falling into the middle. As far as the last play of the game, I was just going to bug you and tell them I thought it was a good play because you guys were arguing about it. I have no idea why anybody would even consider that. And it looked like Harris got nailed in the back with a helmet when he went down. So I don't know whether there was something else going down there or I blinked and I missed it. But offensively, we just didn't finish the drives as well as I thought. They'd get rolling and then they just sort of didn't want to do anything. And mind you, that was like a couple of games earlier, I think. Can't remember which game it was on the weekend where the score was pretty low and defenses were playing pretty good and offenses weren't. But that's par for the course early in the season. The defenses are usually a lot better than the offenses. Mm-hmm. But it's still 2 points, and that's where we need to be. And now it's time to hear the song.
All righty, Bob. Here you go. Sing along, live the night. It's a song coming on, one that everyone knows. It's a pass, it's a run, it's a secret it goes. It's the guys and the girls under those stadium lights. Sing along, live the night. All the beers and the ears gonna fly on by. We're just small town stars holding on to midnight. Take a sip. Raise them all up real high. Say long live the night. There you go, Bob. 1-877-332-8255 as we continue here on the Fan Line. Keith in Saskatoon up next. Keith, what are you thinking after the Riders win 17-13 over the Elks?
Good evening, gentlemen. Isn't that a great phrase, the Riders beating the Elks? Because 3 points to toss at you right away. I grew up as a Rider fan in the early mid-70s when the Edmonton, back then the Eskimos, were dominating the league. I did not want to be the first franchise to lose a home game to the Elks, and it's delightful that now we've avoided that situation. We'll see what happens the rest of the year, but on that, the big picture, I'm delighted that we don't have to be the one to suffer the loss to Chris Jones. Second point, y'all guys were already talking about Jaden Dahlke. I'm not his player agent. But to me, what a superb beginning as a starter in the Rider secondary. Belton, to me, he reminds me of Scott Gordon, former Rider safety back in the 2007 Grey Cup team. Huge hitter. He's always where he needs to be. Fantastic effort. Third point, they were talking in the broadcast about the nicknames for the Rider players. Well, I was going to nickname the Rider offense second and long, because that seemed to be the only play that we really had that we all game. We were always second and long until the last part of the fourth quarter when the O-line woke up and were able to run the ball with Jamal Morrow. What I was really excited to see in the offense was a guy, Samuel Emelis, first-round draft pick in 2022, largely invisible last year. I know we have the injuries right now to KSB, to Braden Lenius, but it's good to see Emelis step up. I think that's the type of production we will need. Again, we'll see what happens with as we get ready to host the Bombers in 5 short days, but it's delightful that we can go out, get off to a 1-0 start with a defense that's playing thoroughly wonderfully.
That defense is a dandy once again. They're a good defense at the start of the season. Then they just wore out how much time they're on the field. Mm-hmm. And
they didn't have the rotation either, right?
Oh,
they started
getting
hurting later on and everything.
Yeah, they ran out of defensive linemen, but they got 7-8 great guys right there, just power and power and power. And from the inside.
Miles Brown made a play. Yeah, Christmas made a play. Lanier was all over the place.
How about Cox was running.
Micah Johnson
chasing quarterbacks. Yeah, Micah Johnson, Cox, everybody. And a good point about Sam Emelis. We talked about him on the pregame show. Good-looking draft pick last year. We thought that he had some skills, but It seems like he needed to kind of get back into playing the Canadian game, right? He grew up playing Canadian football, but got away from it. And it looks like he's been back indoctrinated. He's the guy, when you ask the coaches and some of the players who had one of the best camps this year, that's who comes up. And he contributed, and maybe because of injuries, but it looks like he can step in and play that position.
Keith, as always, thanks for the call here on the Green Zone post game show at 1-877-332-8255, as that means the line has opened up if you're getting a busy signal. And Josh, you're up next. What are you thinking after a Riders victory?
Well, it's always great to get a victory. First thought, though, was, we gave up a lot of sacks last year, and a lot of people blamed the offensive line. But after watching tonight, Harris was able to get the ball off quick. And compare that to what Cody Fajardo did last night, and Montreal giving up 7 sacks. Some of those stats you got to put on Cody last year. I think it's not fair to completely only blame the offensive line. We made some changes, but essentially we have. I didn't think the offensive line still gave up a lot of pressure, but I mean, overall, good win.
Yeah, okay, Belton, what did you see on the offensive line tonight?
Looked like they stood up pretty tall and big. And, yeah, you got to give it up to Trevor Harris. The way he got the ball out quick, it was 1-2, boom. That ball was out of there. And even on the time on some of the deep shots, right, Trevor Harris, the one thing he did not do is what Fajardo would always do, is, you know, that spin out to the left. Trevor Harris actually stayed looking eyes down the field. And remember, that was that one run play in the second quarter, I think, where he gained 19 yards on a run. So he's eyes downfield, but the O-line, they did look solid as far as pass protection go. The only thing I was worried about was the running the ball in the first half too, right? I don't know what happened in the second. Well, I won't even say the second half. The fourth quarter, that's when they turned it on, the last 4 minutes to kill the clock and everything. Because my only worry is if you're playing a better team, right? And the offense, they weren't second and long a lot of times there in the first half. Playing Winnipeg or the Bombers, you know, I'm kind of worried, just a hair.
Well, it's interesting. The time of possession was 33-27, which isn't drastically, but it seems like if you can get a defense to play a half an hour of football, after that half an hour, that's when you really start to see them wear down.
Yeah.
And that's what we see. You blocked for Wes Gates. You saw it a few times.
Wear him down.
All of a sudden, the fourth quarter, he's popping off 10, 20, 15-yard gains like the Riders were tonight. So,
and that's when you have to run the football.
That is.
It's my favorite. Ron Lancaster used to say it, and I'm sorry if I repeat it, but it's genius. He said, you don't have to run the football all the time in the Canadian Football League, but you have to be able to run it when you need to run it. And that's in the fourth quarter when they ran out that time. That's why you and I bit our tongues when they threw that pass. They were running effectively and threw that stupid little pass to Emelis. And then,
wasn't that for a first down?
No, it was for no yards. It was first and 10, and they got 0 yards on it. What a risky, stupid play.
Just run the ball. Just run the ball.
Yeah, they had a couple dumb plays. They've got to learn how to close now. Those were two bad plays by a team that isn't used to winning and has to learn to win now. Hopefully they learn from those two bad plays late in the fourth quarter.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone post-game show. Let's go to who's next here. Leanne, how's it going tonight, Leanne?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Leanne.
Good game. Until the last series, I had no idea what they're doing, and I'm thinking, oh, it's a short weekend if Trevor Harris eases up Tuesday or Wednesday now with that back.
Yep.
We play Friday, and that I don't like the MLS play. Like you said, the first one was dumb enough. But even if Lothar kicks and he misses, it's going to go through the end zone. Like, who cares? Right? He would take a time count penalty, set up for the field goal, take a time count penalty, and then kick it then anyways. And by then, you only have 2 seconds left. I don't know what he was doing or if he called that on his own or they lost track of the down. I'd be interested to hear what Dickinson has to say about that, because that was so dangerous. That's like around the kidney area there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was thinking those young tackles actually did pretty good. Like, I was watching, they were pushing them to the outside. Like, not they didn't let them inside. Like, AC Leonard, a little overrated, but he's still a pretty good rusher.
Yep.
And, like, they were pushing them to the outside pretty good. And then with tight end help, with Awachi, they did okay. Like, the run game wasn't great. But I was kind of worried that Harris was going to get beat up. But you're right. It was 1-2 throw, 1-2 mm-hmm. throw. And he usually did 2 reads within that 2 seconds, too.
Yep.
He took the time. He did 1 read, 2 read, throw.
Yep.
And he's going to take his shots. But, and I mean, I was thinking we should just let the Fajardo thing go. Now it's a new season and no comparisons. Let's just say this is our new quarterback. And, you know, I wish Cody the best. I hope he does well and everything. But I think we got to stop the comparisons. And it's a new year. It's 2023, sorry. I think we just got to stop comparing them and let him play his game in Montreal and just let Trevor be Trevor and stop comparing. But, yeah, I was pleasantly happy. Cautiously optimistic going into it, but with all the talent at receiver, you had to think they would be better before the preseason even started. Like, the guys they were getting, it was just that something went screwy with the offensive linemen again this before the season started. Like last year, they had guys lined up, and then they started dropping off. You know, so once they can get some of those guys back, those American tackles will be good, but eesh, I just hope Trevor's going to be able to play Friday. Because you don't know how that is right now till middle of the week, then what?
Well, yeah, and of course, as you're getting up there, sometimes it takes a little, right, Daryl? It takes a little longer to shake off.
Oh, as you get a little older?
Yeah.
You're looking at me because...
Well,
yes,
you're older.
Yes, that's
than
true.
Me.
Yeah, yeah. That's my racquetball
injuries.
Although
I'm older than Trevor Harris,
yeah,
so...
My racquetball injuries take longer, and with Trevor Harris, I'm sure his football injuries take longer as you get older. And you might not know, and it is a very short week, as Leanne said, right? They get to practice, as Jamie said, they don't fly back tonight. They fly in tomorrow. They'll try to get some rest. It won't be as good. And then you got to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and walkthrough is Thursday. So, and then a home, at least it's a home game. They don't have to travel, but that's still tough against a team that's got an extra 2 days of rest, 3 days of rest, right? No, 2 days.
2 days.
So, yep. Yeah, that helps.
1-877-332-8255. Let's keep the calls coming. Darren joining us on the fan line. Darren, what do you got?
Well, first of all, I was a Cody Fajardo fan. He's gone. I don't want to hear anything more about him. I want to hear no comparisons about him.
So you agree with Leanne. It's enough. Cody Fajardo's name should never be uttered again until they play the Montreal Alouettes.
Exactly. But and then secondly, on that last play where he threw the ball, none of you guys obviously play Madden or the coach because you don't throw the ball. And Gerald might have a good idea. I partially agreed with him for the probably second time in my life. But you don't kick because you can screw up the snap. The field goal can be blocked. You put in your fastest quarterback, which would be Patterson. You snap it, and he runs back to the goal line and kills the time. That's how you end the clock.
Jamie, is this your brother?
No.
But we've drank together a few times in Grey Cup.
Yeah, and we're going to do it again this year. And when Cody made that first hit, you know what I saw? I saw Taylor Loeffler the second. And we all knew what Loeffler did in Winnipeg. And I went, hell yeah. Our defense is going to kill this year. It's awesome. And the offense... they always start off slower. Every team's offense, except for the Bombers, because they've been with each other now. But we'll be all right. I'm happy.
Yeah, the pieces are falling together. That's true. Somebody earlier said Scott Gordon. Jaden Dahlke reminds him of Scott Gordon. Yeah. I think Taylor Loeffler is the guy he reminds me of.
The old bomber. Safety, yeah,
the guy, big, strong guy who hits. Scott Gordon was a scrappy little guy. I loved watching him play. Hey, Belton is his rider safety, but I think Taylor Loeffler is a fairer comparison from Darren on this one.
1-877-332-8255. The fan line open here on the Green Zone postgame show. Let's get to Larry up next. Larry, what do you got?
Hey, guys, I just wanted to call in and let you know how impressed I was by the fact that on our goal line stand, we never went offside once in those three plays.
They paid attention to that big white wide line, didn't they, at the end? They
Absolutely. That was so good to see. I knew our defense was going to be that key cog in the game at the end. It just seemed like they had that presence, that ability to stand up and make that play when it was needed. And it just seems like that D line and the rotation that we have, if we can keep all those guys healthy, that is going to pay off all season long.
That defensive line. I'm looking at the stats right now. They got 5 sacks for the Rough Riders because of the last play as well. You want to know who got the sacks tonight?
All interior guys.
DeMarcus Christmas, Miles Brown, Charbel DeBeer, Micah Johnson, and Anthony Lanier the second. Now, Anthony Lanier the second has been pushed to end, but he was a tackle last year. But all the other guys are interior offensive linemen blowing up the middle. And you know this, Belton, if you own the middle, you win the game.
Yeah, absolutely, you do. You know why? Because it's the shortest route to the quarterback. It's right there. So kudos to that D-line. The way they were getting that pressure and everything, absolutely amazing. And I couldn't tell you how many times. I couldn't even tell sometimes who got the sack because it was everybody was back in
swarming them.
They were right back there.
They were.
And, again, they got the healthy guys. They got that rotation going. They just got to keep it going.
Yep. Miles Brown, the fullback, you mean, got a sack? Didn't he play fullback?
Yes, he did.
Played fullback.
Looked like the fridge out there.
Yeah, Refrigerator Perry.
Lucius Purifoy actually blew up on the Riders.
He did an amazing job on it.
Miles Brown took his guy into the end zone.
Yeah, he took Konar, I think he took in with him. Yeah.
And what about the penalties? They kept that down too, right?
5 penalties tonight.
That's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
5 for 37 yards.
Not bad. That's
pretty good.
Actually, 30 of those yards came from two no yards penalties by number 22, Revis.
Right.
Yeah, two no yard. So really take those two out. It's 3 for 7 yards.
And that was a kind of a chintzy call, the one on Milligan at the end, too. I know they called it legal contact. Yes, okay, but, you know, and then became pass interference because he was the intended receiver. But there wasn't a whole lot of stoppage or arm wrestling going on there.
1-877-332-8255. Let's take our first quick timeout. Still to come, Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs, Game Warriors, Unsung Heroes, and more. And, of course, the postgame thoughts from Commonwealth Stadium. Riders win 17-13, 1-0 to start the 2023 season. This is the Green Zone postgame show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson. As Caden aptly pointed out, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Daryl Davis, Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson, and me, lame-o radio host.
Great radio
who
host.
Tries
great.
To pretend.
Come on,
you're a great radio host.
You make this whole ship go, man.
Yes,
come on.
Not for you, man. We need a quarterback.
One that's not going to roll
speaking,
out.
Yeah.
Glad you're not hurt.
Speaking of which, we're going to hear a lot more from Craig Dickinson a little later on, but because the big debate is the last play of the game, or the second last play of the game, Trevor Harris rolling out, trying to kill the clock and throwing it away, Craig Dickinson's explanation, here it is, and whether or not he could have put Shea Patterson in or what he was thinking.
Yeah, well, I mean, that probably in hindsight, I could have put somebody else in, but Trevor knows the play and he knows he's got to get it out of his hand before he gets hit. But that he's fine. And he's got a little hip pointer. He says he'll be fine. The idea behind that was we wanted to take it all the way down to 2 or 3 seconds and just give Edmonton basically one play. So the only way to guarantee that is to is to run that play, which we have designed to roll out and then throw it in the stand. So he executed it well. He just hung on to the ball too long. I told him after the game, dude, you know what we can kill, and 28 was too much. It's about 25 to 26 we feel we can kill. So he should have thrown it a little bit sooner, but he's a tough dude. You know, he wanted to kill as much time as possible, and I applaud him for that.
There you go.
No, you can't. I'm sorry, you can't rationalize that. Even if it's
he just did.
Yeah, but it's a 31-yard field goal.
Brett Lauther has not looked good in the last 2 weeks with a new holder and Adam Korzak.
I could have kicked it through from 31, Jamie.
Oh, my goodness. Jamie, I used to take that bet. You used to. I don't want to hear you used to do anything. I want you
to win the media kicking contest.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to beg Craig Dickinson, can we please have a kicking contest between me and Daryl from 31 yards to see what happens?
Because Daryl thinks. Stretch your groin, Jamie, before we tear.
He can hit it. You think you can hit that?
I did make it from 33 one time.
So. One time? Wow. Yeah. When was that? 1982?
The last time I tried it, which is about 30 years ago.
Exactly.
When I was Brett Lauther's age.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't you have faith in Brett Lauther?
Right.
Yeah, me too.
I do.
You know,
I believe in Brett Lauther.
Yes.
Dallas, can you speak some sense to these people?
Well, I'll try. All I can do is give my opinion, right? But, that answered my question, actually. It's good that you played the preview of what Craig Dickinson's rationale, which I will say is a smokescreen, and I'll get to what I mean by that in a minute. But I thought, and was going to ask, is our new offensive coordinator, Peter McAllister, over there, could he have maybe gotten some word in, and that maybe it wasn't all the Craig Dickinson's decision. Maybe he thought, well, yeah, we can do this just because of the unorthodox play that it was based on the time. But obviously, yeah, it was Craig's final say, so I was going to throw that in there before then. But anyway, what I was going to say is, for Brett Lauther, I think, going back to the smokescreen, that Craig Dickinson, he was just making up an excuse, per se, because I think he was completely thrown off with how Brett Lauther, a.k.a. Brett Laughter, I'm going to start calling him right now, how brutal his kicking has been. I mean, he missed, what, four in, was it the second preseason game? He missed one crucial one, and had Lauther actually made that one that he missed in today's game, I don't think that play would even be on the board. Combined with the fact that, well, it is a bad decision for a head coach to make, I'll agree, with your all-star quarterback. Again, Brett Lauther's play. Like, how long are you going to put up with this? I understand it's the first game of the season, but this is now becoming what I would consider now a concern. So how long do you go with this before it then becomes something you address? And while I know we've had Lauther for a while, it's a business. We've talked about it. It's a business. You know what? You have to make plays or you get cut. How long do we go? Like, if next game he does the same thing, do we start talking about maybe a Lauther replacement? Because this, we need to nip this in the heels before it becomes a bigger problem. I'll let you guys maybe marinate on that, and you can maybe give some decisions and feedback. The last thing I'll say, which I don't know if you guys caught it, I always call these out. There was one penalty in particular today of the Riders. Now it's one, whatever. But I have to call it out because that's what I'm notorious for doing, was there was a 15-yard no yards against the Riders. That should not happen. Fix that. Make that the one and only this entire season. Otherwise, I'm telling you, I'm going to be calling and complaining, even if it doesn't affect the game. That's a stupid penalty. So anyway, aside from that, if you guys maybe want to talk about the Brett Lauther situation, give your thoughts. I'm just curious to hear what you guys have to say. Thank you.
Dallas, always appreciate your calls here on the Green Zone post-game show.
All no-yards penalties are 15 yards.
Yes.
Right. Even if they're accidental now.
Yep. On the ground or in the air.
Yeah.
It used to be if it hit the ground and rolled around, it would only be a 5-yard penalty. If it was caught in the air, it'd be 15. Now everything's 15 yards.
So that's why.
And you're seeing a lot better teams being a lot better at that.
Yes. And you're getting better return yardage too, which is the idea behind that, right? They want, because teams were saying, I'll just hit the guy after he picks it up.
Yeah. Right when the ball hit the ground. And you're so just going to take a 5-yard penalty. Why Who cared?
Not? So this way they're getting 15, 20 yards on the return. So I like that rule. And it's also safer, which is one of the main things. Brett Lauther. Here, let's let Belton, our kicking expert.
Belton Johnson.
No, I think everybody knows that.
You have
I'm
two,
not the
two
biggest
kickers.
Fan of kickers.
You have two kickers you like, we found out. It's Luka Kongi yep. and Justin Medlock.
Bingo. And Lowther, he's up and down for me right now, right? And Dallas is right, you know, with the preseason miss. But, Jamie, you talked me off the edge when you said that was a new snapper holder.
No, new holder.
New holder.
Adam, it was Kari Vedvik last year, but he's hurt. Bingo. So it's the new global punter that is holding for Brett Lowther.
So I'm still going to have faith in Lowther to get the job done. I do.
Once they figure out their chemistry on the holds.
Exactly. So I can't write them off just yet because I was one like, kick the field goal. Kick the field goal.
Kick the field goal.
So that's it, Jamie.
So nobody's cutting Brett Lowther yet.
No, I don't think so.
Nope.
You?
No.
Yeah.
Still who are you going to bring in?
I have no idea.
Jumps off his
who's
foot.
Out there?
Not a clue.
And changing holders is a huge thing for these guys, right? They get their rhythm going, and Kosker's maybe never held before, right? The new punter. So
yeah.
I think you've got to stay with it. He hit the ones afterwards. He missed
he
early.
Did, no, he held in college.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he didn't hold for Brett Lowther.
Yeah.
No, we'll keep him around.
Yeah. Yeah, it's way too early for that.
Do you think that at all weighed in on the decision not to kick the field goal?
No.
Because I think it did.
You think so?
Yep.
I think that play was – I thought the way you talked, I thought that was a play that they were going to call. What, 20 – supposed to burn a certain amount of
– 25 seconds.
And it leave, what, 2 seconds? It did just
one,
what it did, right?
1 second yeah. left on the clock.
So they did it. They got it done on there. I just would have kicked the field goal. Wouldn't put my quarterback at risk like that.
1-877-332-8255. It's already week one, and there's going to be a QB watch to see if Trevor Tuesday's practice. Wonder if it'll be closed, where Britton Gray will be knocking at the door, waiting to be allowed in to see if Trevor Harris is out there throwing the football for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
I think he'll be out there.
I think so too. 1-877-332-8255. The fan line is open here on the Green Zone post game show. Still to come, we'll hear the full thoughts from Craig Dickinson after this one. We'll also head back to Commonwealth Stadium. Trevor Harris did speak to reporters after the game, so we'll hear from him, Roland Milligan, and much more. Plus, our game Warriors, Beasts and Beefs. Oh, you know what we should do? I'm just going to put Daryl Davis on the spot right now. All right, Chance, I'm going to do this. Let's hit the play of the game right here, right now.
Maybe it made you, it might have made you, or maybe just made you.
Come on!
It's time for the play of the game.
Okay, Daryl Davis. That was a quick 20-second off-air discussion we just had on the play of the game. I can't believe it's a debate.
We're having trouble finding stats all the time, so I can't remember exactly what quarter, right? Everybody's been talking about
that. It was the fourth quarter, 1,000%.
Okay, yes. Stuff. So it's a three-part play of the game. That defensive line stuffed the Winnipeg Blue Bombers three straight times from the one-yard line.
The Elks,
sorry. Yes, there I go again. Once in a while I do that.
That's a fine.
Yes, sorry, chicken. I'll pay for sliders next week. How's that? I'll pay Belton for sliders.
It was 4 minutes and 25 seconds left in the game.
Yes, what an important time it was too, right? That changed everything. Three straight plays. The last one, it was Roland Milligan making the last stuff on it, so we'll give him the real, if you just want one play of the game, it was that third one. But I'm giving it that defensive line, that whole defensive front. All three of those plays, Jamie, to me, that's kind of the same play three straight times. Play of the game.
There is your play of the game here on the Green Zone post-game show. But I know everybody wants, how's Trevor Harris feeling? We'll find out next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson, as the Rough Riders beat the Edmonton Elks 17-13. So those guaranteed win tickets are good for their next home game now in Edmonton. They had a section of tickets you could buy, and if they lose tonight, you get your seats back for the next home game. So there you have it, as the streak of 1,335 days will move on. Although it's 18 straight home losses. 18, that's two full seasons where they haven't won a game at Commonwealth. Remember when you couldn't ever go into Commonwealth and win?
No. like there's a pandemic year in the middle and a shortened season in there too, right? So, but still 18 games, as that's you say, that's
1,336 days.
Imagine you keep going to the Commonwealth Stadium thinking maybe they'll win tonight.
Well, it was always that darn Dwayne Mandrusiak turning the sprinklers on in the winter.
Manager for that. That's going on. Formerly
wouldn't let the riders on the field to see what the conditions were. But that doesn't really pay off anymore because it's now turf instead of the grass at Commonwealth Stadium. But we need to hear from Trevor Harris. And our Britton Gray wanted to know how he's feeling after this win, but as he limped off the field on that second last play.
Yeah, not too great right now. I'm hoping it loosens up a little bit.
Your thoughts on that game? Debut, you guys get the win, but your overall thoughts, wasn't perfect like preseason.
Oh man, I think that's the worst. I think that's the poorest I've played in a victory in my life. And that's just a big ups to our defense. And the second half, I thought we did a much better job offensively. I can't make a mistake like that, throwing an interception like that in our own territory during that moment. So that's just a bonehead decision, but I'm going to be better. Offense is going to be better, but big ups to our defense today. They were amazing, but, I thought in the second half, we put together some good drives. We obviously want to finish inside the 10, and be able to kind of bow our neck and get in the end zone. But, I thought our, offensive line did a great job at the end of the game, and during, our receivers made some good plays on second down to extend drives and make sure we got to stay on the field and run the clock out.
Yeah, just speaking, you mentioned, you know, obviously wanting to finish inside the 10. As a competitor, obviously you respect the coach's decisions, but are you trying to maybe grease some palms and be like, hey, coach, like, let's go for this. Let's score the touchdown.
Yeah, I think that may be something we'd do in a few weeks. You know, we get a couple wins under our belt, but I'm not going to question Craig Dickinson at this point. But obviously, you know, third and goal from the 2. That's a situation you always want to go for as a quarterback and be able to get in the paint and be able to put 6 on the board instead of 3. And then obviously the bigger thing with those sorts of things, in my opinion, is not only you only get 3 points, but you give the other team the ball to 40, which is gigantic in the field position battle. And so being able to get in the end zone allows your special teams to go down there and pin them a little bit deeper. And yeah, obviously we've got to make sure that we do that.
Obviously you mentioned, yeah, like not a perfect game for yourself, couple interceptions and stuff like that. But yeah, so it's just a matter of kind of, you know, reviewing the tape and seeing where you can make those improvements.
Yeah, it's early on in our offense and we're not going to be perfect early, but I really feel this offense has the makings of something special. And as they say, Rome wasn't built in a day, but this offense is going to be special by the time we get a few weeks underneath our belt. And for me today, I've just got to, there's a few things, you know, across the board for all of us, but I can't miss a few of the throws that I missed today. And then obviously turn the football over, something I've done a pretty good job of my entire career. And I'll make sure that I'm better at that, because those are situations where with as good a defense, especially as we have, as long as we don't put them in bad situations, we're going to be just fine. And we're going to put together scoring drives, multiple scoring drives every game, and make sure we, you know, clean up some of these mistakes and make sure I don't, you know, put us in bad positions like that. It's just inexcusable.
Hey, Trevor, does it say something about your team though, overall, especially your defense, given the, as you mentioned, not best offensive night, but still you guys as a team were able to grind out the victory?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you would have been down on the sidelines, there was total belief. Even after I throw a bonehead interception like that, a couple guys just come up and they were like, we think you're the best. You don't have to worry about anything. You just go out and just be you, man. We know you're going to make plays to finish the game. And during those moments, you know, when you feel like you put the team in a bad spot, for people to say that was great. But you should hear it on the sideline, just total belief in what we're doing and who we are. And like I said, this team, you know, far from a finished product offensively, but we've got the makings of special.
What was your vantage point on the goal line stuff, the 3 straight plays that arguably was sort of the 3 plays of the game?
Yeah. Shoot. And toward the end of the game, that would have, we would have needed another drive to go win the game. And I fully believe that we would have put one together, but shoot, man, you don't see, you know, 3 plays in a row from the 1 yard line get stuffed like that. I think I've maybe seen it one other time since I've been up here in 2012. And so for our defense to do that, man, they put us on their back today and they really came through. And when they ran the jet sweep and I saw Roll step in and just light that up, that was something else. That was one of those things where you just shake your head in disbelief and just say, we don't deserve these guys.
Trevor, you talked about your game, but how about the game of your receivers? Darrell Walker getting Winicky in there and Bain Jr. You guys are all kind of figuring out this offense early together.
Yeah, with how our offense changes and, you know, based on coverage and leverage and all those sorts of things down in distance and whatnot. I thought we moved the ball well in the second half. There was a couple times early where it didn't go so well, but I felt like we really moved the ball well. We were starting to really get our feet underneath this, but obviously we needed to make more plays and I need to be better for those guys, especially in the first half and then the bonehead mistake in the second half. But aside from that, I thought we were really starting to get our groove a little bit more. We just want to see ourselves finish drives. You know, we don't want to kick field goals and give that other team the ball at the 40. We want to make sure we're finishing with touchdowns.
And how long do you enjoy this win before the attention turns to Winnipeg? It's a short week for you guys to prepare for them.
Yeah, as soon as I walk out of the locker room, I've got downloaded on my iPad, and I'm going to be watching Winnipeg tonight. I usually can't fall asleep until like 2 or 3 in the morning, so I'm going to be watching their game films and pulling up some stuff from last year and just seeing how they played and things that they're trying to do defensively and see if we can get a jump start on it.
That is the quarterback, Trevor Harris, and his post-game thoughts tonight in his debut in the regular season. 20 of 33, 60.6% completion percentage, 179 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions, and 1 19-yard run, which was the biggest run of the game until I think Jamal Morrow's 28-yarder for the Riders anyways late in the game. So there's the stat line. What did you think of the debut or the start of Trevor Harris as the Rough Riders franchise guy, Belton?
Well, considering what we saw in the preseason, you know, what, 4-4, 70, what, 2 yards, touchdown.
Oh, you want him perfect every game. Is that what you're saying?
He ain't got to be perfect, but he better play better than what he did today. and keep in mind, like, the Elks, I don't think they're elite by any means, but when you're playing somebody like the Bombers, that can definitely come back and bite you in the rear end here and everything, right? So does he admitted, like, he's got to be better. He's going to watch film and be ready for the Bombers, because if he plays like he did today, I don't think that's the case for the Riders with a win today.
Edmonton looked better than Montreal, Ottawa, and Calgary, I think. So
they did.
So the middle of the pack team. Mm-hmm. But this is a huge game for the Riders, just to say that they're better than the Elks, right? That's what I said going into this game. We're two teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. Jim Barker was saying the same thing at halftime on TSN. Two teams that didn't make the playoffs have something to prove. The Riders proved that even without their quarterback playing very well, as he admitted, and there was a boneheaded interception. That's the one that we really kind of chided him for, right? As we're watching, we're saying, what the heck was that? That's trying to do something when there's nothing there. But for the most part, most of his decisions were pretty good. And if they can win without him being at his best and without getting great offensive performances, but running down the clock at the end, they did a good job of that until the very stupid play at the very end. They did a lot of good things, but as he said, the defense, those 3 stops from the 1 yard line. If he said he hasn't seen it since 2012, I don't remember seeing that in a long, maybe ever. I'm glad he remembered that.
We've seen it before, but it's very rare.
Yes.
Yep. You get 3 from the 1 like that.
With a short yardage quarterback in there too, right? So a guy who's a specialty is supposed to be running it in.
Because usually one dummy goes offside on the defense and it gives him another chance.
Yeah, so they do get it on the 5th try or something, right? So yeah, they were so disciplined on that today. And one of our callers mentioned it earlier. The fact that they stayed onside, that's what they were notorious for last year.
Yeah.
Going offside on those 3rd and goals from the 1, and tonight, and 3 great plays.
And they were so strong. Like, they pushed the line back, right? Like, that's when you know you got something good there, when they get penetration like that every time.
And moving Lanier to that outside spot to that, because he's a house playing is. Right? And the other side, Cox is a huge man, too. They're just holding it. Massive guys, and that's why they're winning the battle of the middle of the trenches.
Let's go to Les in Corning. Les, how are you feeling tonight?
It's great to be back, boys.
Hi, Les.
All of you. What a great game. Good hard hitting. I knew it wouldn't be a high-scoring game, this game. It's kind of a feel-me-out, hard-hitting, but they weren't up against what I saw the best team in the world again. Like what was it, 6 minutes in or so into the game, 64 yards penalty for Edmonton. So, and then Saskatchewan scored the TD. They caught Edmonton in a weak moment off the beginning of that game, and what won the game was our defense after that. That defense was phenomenal. They stepped up. They read the play. That third down, and that was read just so cleanly. That's a picture moment, man.
Well, that defense, Les, is they're unreal. It's a great defense, always has been. As long as they can stay healthy, that group is going to cause some big-time headaches for the offense. And, of course, many people are hoping that's against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers this Friday. Only 4 days off, and then we're right back at it on Friday. But there's a lot more to come here on the Green Zone postgame show. Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs, Game Warriors, Unsung Heroes. And we'll get to Mike coming up here on the Fan Line next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. 17-13, the Rough Riders win one in Edmonton. And we go to Edmonton on the Fan Line. It's Mike. How's it going, Mike, today?
It's going good. Just driving home from the game right now. You know, we kind of made a joke with it being guaranteed win night that I bought the cheapest season tickets available in the entire league tonight. So far, the Riders helped prove me right.
So did you buy those tickets in that section?
Oh, yeah. My son and I went to the game tonight, me and Grayson, and we bought tickets. It was $90 each, and we're going next week, too.
Wow.
Nice.
Two for one sale. Hey. Could be three for one, yeah. Four for one.
Well, if they keep going the way they've been going the last couple of years, like I said, I got season tickets. Yeah.
Now those tickets are $45 each for these two games. And of course, if they make it to three, they're only $30 a pop. So whatever.
Yeah.
I tell you, you can't get more of a better deal than that. But one question we do have, though, we stayed at the end towards the end of the game to kind of, you know, high five and say hi to the players on the way out in the one corner there. And we noticed after Trevor Harris was done with his TSN hits on TV that when he was walking off the field, it looked like he had a nasty limp. And both my son and I looked at each other and went, oh, no, what's that? Have we had any official word yet on how hurt he is? We've missed it being in the car.
Well, I'll play it back for you. I'll play the start. Of course, I deleted it. One second. I'll find it here. On Trevor Harris, how he's feeling.
Yeah, not too great right now. I'm hoping it loosens up a little bit.
There you go. That's all he said about that hip injury.
And Craig
that
Dickinson,
hip pointer, he said?
Craig Dickinson called it was a hip pointer, which is a little sore and touchy, but not usually serious.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw it. It was the way he didn't get hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got pushed by that D-tackle. I can't remember who it was. And he went flying through the air. He actually got off the ground.
Yes.
And when he was off, and the way he landed on it, right?
Yeah.
And it was that, right side, that back right side of the hip,
mm-hmm.
kind of lower back area. And, you know, that's when mm-hmm. he got up, started limping and everything.
Yeah. The defensive lineman was mad. He said, why didn't you guys just kick a field goal and threw him down?
Mike, what did you think of that last play to run around and try to throw it deep to kill the clock rather than just kick the field goal and go up seven?
We wanted the field goal. We didn't think that they weren't going to go for it, but they didn't. And it kind of, we were left holding our breath for a while there. It's like, just take the points.
Yes.
Take the points. Yes.
What do you think overall of this team, though?
We're nervously optimistic, both my son and I. We want to see them play Winnipeg next week to really see. Because I said it's the first week, and all the teams are going to be rusty this week. I give a team a week or 2 weeks. By week three, you better be going on all the cylinders. Yeah. And if you're not, then we got problems. But it was weird. It felt like a Rider home game because half the stadium had Rider jerseys on, as always, whenever they come to town. So overall, it was really low scoring, which was disappointing. But at the same time, we got the win, and that's all that mattered.
And Mike, always appreciate you taking the time. A safe drive home.
Cheers.
That is Mike in Edmonton on the Fan Line at 1-877-332-8255. As the Fan Line is open, so we'll see. Tuesday will be the day we will be looking very closely, or not, depending if it's open or closed practice.
I'm thinking it's open. Usually,
day one.
It's open. And then the second day it isn't. So when they start putting in extra plays, third day is open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the third day install being closed. That's when all the secrets come out.
We send our drone over top just to see what's going on.
The police, the new Regina police plane.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
Fly over top. Just to see if Trevor Harris is out there or not. Wasn't there a quarterback who missed one at Grey Cup week?
Yeah, Reggie Slack. Yeah.
He missed?
Oh, yeah. Missed the practice.
Missed the close practice.
The close practice, yeah. Didn't. Yep.
No wonder they got shellacked by Toronto Argonauts. Yeah, but it was Doug Flutie and company. Yeah. But
Reggie had some issues that he admitted to later on. And he was a good athlete, and he's cleaned things up, and I'm proud of him. I always liked Reggie. He just had... Yeah, he missed a practice at Grey Cup week, and he missed a trip to Hamilton one time too. Just didn't show up. So,
boy,
kind of like you in your first days of college, Belton.
Trust me, I was there. I didn't want to get in no trouble, man.
I thought you slept in your first two days. Yeah,
that's old. That changed my whole life. That whole episode.
You're a morning guy now because of that, right? Yeah. Well, Reggie's a responsible guy, a responsible business owner now. So, yeah, changed Reggie's life too. So those are good things.
Coming up next, Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs, as well as you'll hear from the full thoughts from head coach Craig Dickinson. Next on the Green Zone postgame show as the Riders beat the Elks by a score of 17-13. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.